All right. Those who are familiar with me know that I'm a person who is interested in victory. The victorious Christian life has really been a focus of my ministry. Now, I want people to live a life of victory. And I'm going to preach tonight about a guy that did live a life of victory. It is Joseph. Joseph, you know, the guy with the multicolored coat? That Joseph. We're going to talk about him tonight. He had great victory in his life. And Joseph's victory is comprised of four elements. We're going to read about those in this first set of scriptures. We're going to go to Genesis chapter 39, starting in verse 2. I'll give you a second to get there. Let me ask, anybody here interested in victory? Yeah, victory in this life. I mean, I know when we get to heaven, it's all glory and victory there. But I'm talking about in this life. Well, here's what it says, starting in verse 2. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. Then he made him overseer of his house and all that he had put under his authority. So it was from the time that he had made him overseer of his house and all that he had that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and in the field. The four elements of Joseph's victory can be found in this passage. In verse 2, it talks about Joseph being a successful man. Joseph had success. In verse 3, it says that all that he did prospered. So he was prosperous. Success and prosperity, that's not a bad combination. But it gets better. In verse 4, it says that Joseph found favor. Joseph had favor, and then in verse 5, Joseph had blessing. So Joseph had success, prosperity, favor, and blessing. I'd like more of that myself. Amen? See, the Lord's victory, and this is the Lord's victory because it was a victory that was gained by faith. The Lord's victory is dependent on faith. Now, we all have faith and believe in God, right? Yeah, well, let's say we do. I'll believe you. I trust you. Well, this message, I believe, is a prophetic word for us today because I think Joseph's victory can be our victory. Yeah, I said that. Joseph's victory can be our victory. I know it sounds too good to be true, but I believe it is true. It is true, and I'm going to show it to you from the Word of God. But first, let's pray. Father, we thank you for the evening that you've given us tonight. We thank you, Lord God, for the good time that we've had in worship and praising you. And now, Lord, we come to sit at your feet and learn from the word that you have given us. Lord, I pray that our hearts would be ready to receive, that our ears will hear what you would desire us to hear, and that your spirit will make it alive to our spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. So, when we first meet Joseph in the scriptures, it's in Genesis chapter 37. Joseph is just a 17-year-old young guy, just a teenager. And Joseph has a dream. He has a dream that it's in the fields and its sheaves are gathered together. And this one sheaf is surrounded by 11 other sheaves. And those 11 other sheaves of grain bow down to the one in the middle. And the interpretation, of course, is that one in the middle is Joseph, and the 11 others are his brothers. They are bowing down to him, and they're not happy about that. And then he has the dream of stars. And all of the stars, the moon and the sun are also a part of this. That represents his parents. And he shares that dream, and of course his brothers didn't like the first dream, and his dad certainly didn't like, his dad, Jacob, didn't like the second dream, because what it's essentially saying is that one day you guys will be bowing down to me. They think he's being rather a braggart, right? That he's acting out in a way that says, you guys are going to be my servants instead of me being your servant the other way around. And so they have this problem. His brothers despise him, and you know the rest of the story. He gets thrown into a pit, and they're talking about killing him, but then they actually sell him into slavery to some folks who are headed to Egypt, and then eventually he gets sold to a man named Potiphar to be a servant in Egypt. So that's Joseph when he starts out. Now, you gotta love the fact that he was a dreamer. I mean, even though his dreams didn't come off quite right, and I'm sure he probably could have presented it a little better, but nonetheless, Joseph was a dreamer, and I hope that we are all dreamers. Dreams are important. Young people are natural dreamers, and I think sometimes as we get older, we lose our capacity to dream. We get older, and the everyday activities of life and the struggles that we face have a tendency to beat those dreams out of us. We kind of begin to just settle for surviving instead of thriving, instead of having a dream in our heart. Well, Joseph had a God-given dream in his life, a dream of greatness and dominion. Joseph dared to believe the dream. He dared to believe the dream even when it seemed impossible. Even through his life, through the difficulties that he had to endure, he held on to those dreams. He dreamed it even when he was in the pit, when his brothers were about to kill him. He dreamed it when he was at Potiphar's house, just serving as a slave to an Egyptian outside of his own home territory, away from all of his family, all alone, and yet he still held on to that dream. And then even when he was in prison, he got sent to prison because Potiphar's wife had accused him of some immorality, and Potiphar had him thrown into the prison. Even then, serving time for a crime he didn't commit, Joseph held on to his dream. In all that Joseph endured, he was able to keep himself in a position to fulfill his dream. And I think that's one of the keys that we're going to discover tonight. Through all of the trouble, through all of the obstacles, he didn't become angry and he didn't become bitter. And again, oftentimes we end in a situation where life is tough and there's tragedy that may occur, or there are people who come against us and we become angry, we become bitter, we lose sight of the dream that God has for us, the purpose that God has for us. When I'm talking about having a dream, I am talking about you understanding the purpose that God has for your life and then following after that. Joseph had a dream. He understood God had a plan for his life. My question is, do you have a dream? Do you have a dream for success and prosperity and favor and blessing? Do you have a dream? See, because it all starts with a dream. It all starts with a dream. Before you can have a life that is a dream come true, you've got to have a dream. Do you have a dream? I'm a dreamer. I wasn't always a dreamer. But I've read the Bible, you see. And I believe what the Bible says. I believe the promises that the Bible puts out for us. I believe, I read this in the Bible, I believe all things are possible. Before I was a Christian, my dreams were rather limited to my understanding about the natural world around me. I just kind of looked at things and assessed what I thought might be possible, and it wasn't all that great. My dreams were limited by the available funds that were in my checking account, if I even had any, because my checking account was often very limited. My dreams were limited, and my confession was mostly, well, I don't think I can do that. I can't do that. I can't afford to do that. There was a lot of can'ts in there. I didn't have much in my mind as what was possible. But I found in the Bible when I became a Christian that all things are possible for those who believe. I became a believer in the very real sense of the word. I wasn't believing in myself. I had all of my previous life before I came to Jesus to do that, and that wasn't all that great. But once I read the Word, once I became a Christian, once I understood who God was, I became a believer. I found a basis to believe. I found a substance for my faith in the Scriptures. I mean, again, I literally read, all things are possible for those who believe. And we all here consider ourselves believers. Do we believe that? Are all things possible? If you believe it, Bible says that is true. I believed what it says in Hebrews 11. You know, the stories about Gideon and Samson and Daniel and Samuel and Moses, who it says, through faith they subdued kingdoms, they worked righteousness, they obtained promises, they stopped the mouths of lions, they quenched the violence of fire and escaped the edge of the sword. And in weakness, it says, they were made strong. They put foreign armies to flight. And women received back their dead. These are things that we see in the book of faith, Hebrews 11. Man, oh man. Not to mention all of the other stories that it has for us that shows us what is possible by faith. All things are possible. I took the Bible seriously. I believed what it said. I began to live a life of faith. Following after the dream I believe God put in my heart. You know, there was one time when I was just lying in bed, somewhat halfway dozing off. It was in the daytime. It wasn't like I was going to sleep at night. I'm not sure if I just took a nap, but I remember lying in bed, and I was just kind of in that half-dreamy portion, and I was thinking upon the story about Peter walking on water. How when Jesus called him to come out of the boat, he actually stepped out and he was walking on water. And I just, in an instant, I sat up in that bed and I thought, that's possible. By faith, that's if Jesus called me to step out of a boat and walk on water, I could do that if he called me. Well, I believe that all things are possible for those who believe. And if we will be bold enough to believe the Word of God, that's called faith, okay? That's just called faith. And if you put your faith to work, you'll be surprised at all that can be accomplished. Faith is the key. But before we can put our faith to work, we have to have something for our faith to do. We have to have some work for it to do. Dreams are like the blueprints of our lives that direct the work of faith in our lives. Think about it this way. You know, faith is the force. It's how we operate in the kingdom of God. It's how we get things done. I mean, things beyond the natural. You know, we can do an awful lot in the natural. A lot of it not good. But we can accomplish some great things in the natural, not anything close to what can happen in the supernatural, under the power of God and by faith. I want to do things beyond the natural. And that takes faith. That takes faith. Faith releases the power to get things done. Faith is like the foreman of a construction crew. The construction crew that will build things in your life. Let's say you have it in your mind that you want to build something. Let's say it's a great building, or maybe it's just a new garage. Maybe you want to build another Lambeau Field, name it Larry Field or whatever. Let's say you want to build some great thing or even a small thing. Let's say you have this plan in your heart to build something and you are going to meet with the foreman of the construction crew, and when they show up at the site of where this building is going to be erected, what would happen if you just looked at them and said, well, whatever, do whatever, make it good. I can imagine he's just going to stare at you like, what? Do whatever. Make it good. See, a lot of Christians live their life that way. God, whatever you want, just do whatever and make my life good. And there's no direction. There's no direction. You've got to have the blueprints. Your faith is the blueprint that that guy in the dust-covered converted pickup truck is going to use to build the things in your life. It's a blueprint. It's your dream. I'm not just talking about some pie-in-the-sky fanciful whim either. You know, we can all come up with goofy things. I just want to be the greatest video game player ever in the world. I want to dominate video games. Well, and, you know, we kind of joke about that, but if God put that in your heart and that was the purpose that he had for you, you could have a lot of influence with young people if that was the case. But, you know, most times we can come up with our own goofy ideas and it's not God at all. So be careful. Spend some time seeking God's word and his will for your life. Now, my dream is to fulfill God's purpose for my life. That's what I live for. Every believer needs a God-inspired dream for their life. So discover your purpose and begin dreaming of that journey that will lead you to the fulfillment of that dream. That by faith you can get there. It's a journey that will be marked with success and prosperity and favor and blessing. The Hebrew word translated in verses 2 and 3, where it says success in verse 3 and it says prosperity, or that he was prosperous, that's actually the same word in the Hebrew. The word tzlak, I might be saying it wrong because I'm not very good at my Hebrew pronunciation, but that word does not mean that you are arriving at a good place. You've arrived at a prosperous place or a successful spot in your life. No, it means to push forward. That word in the Hebrew means to push forward. So when the Bible says that Joseph was prosperous and that he was successful, what it's saying is Joseph was actually moving forward. He had the capacity to keep pushing forward. See, Joseph was not content to stay where he was. He was not content to coast. He was not content to be a slacker. He wasn't just going to be apathetic or mediocre. And I say, Lord, let us not be mediocre. I mean, if we're going to be Christians, let us be a lot of things, but let us not be mediocre, please. Success is important. Well, I'll talk about more of that later. The principle that we see, though, in Joseph's life is if you keep pushing forward, you will arrive at a good place. It seems like a simple thought, but it's true. If you keep pushing forward, you will arrive at a good place. You see, success is not simply the absence of failure. I mean, every biography that you read of a very successful person is going to have whole chapters of failures before you get to the part where they succeeded. Some of the most successful people are the ones who have had the most failures, but they refuse to quit. They just kept pushing forward like Joseph. Despite what everybody else would call failure, if you keep pressing forward, if you don't quit, you'll get to the place where everybody else will call success. But you can't quit. When someone looks at your efforts and they say, well, you failed. I can see you didn't accomplish it. Well, just tell them, I'm not done yet. I'll let you know when I'm done. Just not done yet. I'm going to keep pressing forward. The great principle of success for those in God's kingdom is that if you don't quit, you can't fail. You can't lose. That is a faith statement. We're talking about faith. That is a faith statement. If you don't quit, God is going to continue to work with you and support you and teach you and guide you, and eventually you will get to that place of success and prosperity. And if you haven't noticed, the devil's going to do all that he can to get you to quit. How many here have been on a journey and got discouraged and decided, yeah, I'm not sure this is worth it? We have all been there. We have all done that. And hopefully you pull out of that and you keep pushing on. Hopefully you keep moving ahead. Success is not the absence of failure, people. It is refusing to quit. It's just moving beyond failure. Now, you need to start declaring that kind of victory now in your life. Even if you don't see it, even if it's not evident to anybody else, you need to declare that victory now. See, because the scripture here, Genesis 39, verses 2 through 5, it's talking about Joseph when he was a slave to Potiphar. This passage is talking about Joseph serving Potiphar in Potiphar's house as a slave. Are you getting this? See, Joseph was a successful, prosperous man when he was a slave. Isn't that what the Bible is telling us? At that stage in his life, think about it. What did Joseph have to show for his life? Nothing. Maybe the clothes on his back. Everything else belonged to his master. But the Bible says he was successful. The Bible said that everything he did prospered. Ah. See, one of the things we do have to reckon with is that what the world calls success and what the world calls prosperity is not the same as it is in the kingdom of God. I don't have a lot of time to spend on that, but you think about that for a little while. At that stage in Joseph's life, there was nothing that he actually had for himself. And yet the Bible says he was prosperous. He was a successful man right there in verse 2. He was marked by success and prosperity. I'm telling you, as a believer, you are already marked by success and prosperity. How can I say that? Because it says here in verse 2, the Lord was with Joseph. And you know what? The Lord is with you. The Lord is with you. You may not recognize it all the time. You may forget it some of the time. But I'm telling you, the Lord, if you're a believer, the Lord is with you. And that's why Joseph was successful. That's why he was prosperous. The Lord is with you. We need to start believing it. We need to start speaking it. We're going to have to believe it. And it's important that we do our part too. Because it's not going to happen just because we say it. And really, it's not going to happen just because God says it. You see, God needs a willing partner in this endeavor. I'm telling you, the Bible says that the Lord is with you. And that with the Lord comes prosperity, comes success. But you have your part to play in it. Just because the Bible says it doesn't mean it will happen if you're not a willing participant. We're going to have to build up our faith with the Word of God. We're going to have to cooperate with Him. You see, the Word of God has a lot to say about prosperity and success. And I know some people get a little nervous when you start talking about prosperity, when you start talking about success in a Christian context. They start thinking, oh, that's all kind of really worldly stuff. Well, I'm telling you, the Bible says that that's God's desire for your life. Deuteronomy 8:18 is a scripture that I go to quite often. It says, and you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you power to get wealth. Are we believers in the Word of God or not? It is the Lord that gives us power to get wealth. Why? So that He may establish His covenant, which He swore to your fathers, as it is to this day. Are you nervous about wealth? I mean, if it comes because we're serving the Lord, I think that's a good thing. Psalm 35:27 says, let them shout for joy and be glad who favor my righteous cause. Anybody here favor the righteous cause of Christ? Yep. Okay, we got a room full of you. And it says, and let them continually say, let the Lord be magnified who has pleasure in the prosperity of His servant. See, a lot of times religion has given us the wrong concept that the only way that you can be a true servant of God is to be poor. In fact, there's that term, poor as a church mouse. That's terrible. I mean, come on, in the church, the mice should be the wealthiest bunch of all. As far as mice go, they should be prosperous. They should be blessed. if there are mice in the house of the Lord. We have a skewed concept of what prosperity and success is. So we're going to have to overcome that. But God has pleasure, it says here, in the prosperity of His servant. You can knock the daylights out of a lot of religious spirits just with that scripture alone. 3 John 2 says, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers." I'm just going to run through a bunch of scriptures here because I want you to see it's in the Word of God. All right? For those of you who say, "Well, I don't know about that." Well, it's in the Word of God. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8, "God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work." Not that you are in lack, not that you can't take care of yourself, but that you have an abundance, all sufficiency for you, and an abundance to help other good works as well. Philippians 4:19 says, "And my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Amen. Yeah, I say amen to that too. Now again, don't misunderstand, we've got work to do. If we look again at Genesis 39, verse 3, it says, "His master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord made all he did to prosper." Notice that part. All he did. Who? All that Joseph did. Joseph had to do something, or the Lord had nothing to prosper. It's when he was busy that the Lord had something to work with. Joseph's victory is not just a matter of sitting around until we win the lottery. And again, some people have that misconception. "Well, I know God wants me to be blessed, so God, go ahead, do it." And God's saying, "Well, come on, let's work together towards this." God's purpose is for us to be blessed, to be prosperous, and God will prosper what we do. What we do. Not what we think, but what we do. If we do nothing, again, God will prosper nothing. So we need to find something of promise, something that has promise, that has potential, and then let's get busy with it. This is where you are searching out what your purpose is in life, what God's purpose is for you, what dream He is going to impart to you that you can fulfill and pursue. That great journey. We need to get our eyes, I tell you what, we need to get our eyes off the latest inflation figures and the rising gas prices and the next great world disaster on the horizon, because really, what has that got to do with us? Not that we bury our head in the sand and we don't know anything else is going on, but I can tell you what the stock market is going to do, and I'm not even a prophet. I can tell you it's going to go down, and it's going to go up. And then it's going to go down. And then it's going to go up. And then it's going to go down again and maybe go down some more. But then it's going to go up. Whichever way it goes, it doesn't alter the promises of God's word for those who will believe. We get caught up in all of this other stuff and it distracts us. And we end up not pursuing the journey that God has placed us on. We get into just a survival mentality and we hunker down and we don't really reach out to others. We don't really accomplish what God's purposes are in our lives or in the lives of this community. We talked about success and prosperity. Let's talk about favor. Favor is even better than prosperity. Really, it is. Favor can do a lot of things for you that prosperity can't. Especially when you're in trouble. I mean, with prosperity, you can hire a good attorney, right? But with favor, you can get what you want. Like, you know, you can get out of trouble. You don't have to fight your way out with a lawyer. See, people sometimes struggle with favor because it doesn't seem fair to them that God would show favor or have favorites. Because favor is not fair. If you favor one of your children over the other, you're going to hear, "That's not fair. How come they get to do that and I can't do that? How come they get this thing and I don't have that thing?" God is not obsessed like we are in American culture, with what's fair. And be thankful for it. Because none of us got saved because God was being fair. None of us got saved because God was... See, the fair thing to do would be to administer justice. That you would get everything you fully deserve. You don't want that. You want favor. When it comes to God's favor, accept it and stay humble. In Genesis 39:4, it says that Joseph served him. See, Joseph found favor in his sight, in Potiphar's sight, and he served Potiphar. He didn't get all uppity because he was the one that was bringing prosperity into this household. He served Potiphar. He stayed humble, maintained the attitude of a servant, and continued to be a blessing to those around you. We need to be servants. We need to serve. Well, I need to move on. Last thing I'm going to touch on is blessing. Blessing is a good thing too. Joseph had blessing in his life. Again, in verse 5, so it was from the time that he had made him overseer, that Potiphar made Joseph overseer of his house and all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake, and the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and in the field. Blessing will follow you. Blessing will be a part of your life. Blessing will pour out onto others. You can believe that the place that you work in is blessed. Because you're there, and God's favor is on you, and God's blessing will flow through you. I believe that where I work is a blessed place, partly because I'm there. Other people too, other believers. The blessing of the Lord is real. It's as real as the curse of the law, only it's stronger. Hallelujah. Declare the blessing on the place where you work. And don't be grumbling about the place that you work. Don't be whining about the boss and talking about how they should do things so much differently. No, you're going to be a servant. You're going to be a humble servant, and you are going to be somebody who brings blessing to that place. And pray for your place of employment. Come on, the more that they are blessed, that blessing should filter down to you and to your family as well. Amen? Got to maintain our attitude, got to maintain our humility. But when we are anywhere and we're serving God, wherever that is blessed. And we are blessed as well. The blessing of the Lord is real. Jesus, you know, didn't come to break us. Sin had already broken us. Jesus didn't come to bind us. The devil had already bound us. Jesus came to bless us. Thank God. The blessing of the Lord is a real thing, and it will be seen in your life. It will be evidence of your walk with God to the world around you. People, I tell you, people will recognize when you're blessed. They will recognize it. When they comment on how good your life is going, well, then we get to give glory to God. You know, I can honestly say the only reason you see this person in front of you today is all by the grace of God. My life was not headed in a good place. But by the grace of God, here I am, and I'm a blessed person, and I'm grateful to be here. The reason the Lord is going to bless His people is because it will increase our influence. Let's be real. People don't pay a lot of attention to losers. They just don't. They look for people who are successful, people who have blessing on their lives. When we're walking in victory, when we're you know, successful and we're prosperous and they can see the favor of God on our lives and there is blessing that abounds, people will naturally be attracted. And then we can use our position for influence, to influence God. Or not God, but people for God, to bring them to Jesus. And again, you got to stay humble. Got to stay humble, otherwise then it just comes off as arrogant. But God wants to establish the victory of Joseph in our life, in your life. But let me warn you. When the victory of Joseph is building in your life, we become a target for temptation. See, the devil doesn't want us to have increased influence. He doesn't want us to succeed. He doesn't want us to prosper. He doesn't want us to have favor. The devil is out to destroy all of that. He doesn't want to see us blessed, but he can't really stop it directly. See, he's not powerful enough to stop the blessing of God. He can't just steal it from us. See, we have faith. We have enough faith that the devil can't overcome that. But if he can tempt us and get us into a place of sin and compromise, the victory begins to fade. Joseph had to go through temptation. I mean, the wife of Potiphar just threw herself at him time and time and time again. And Joseph had other temptations beyond that, but he avoided the temptation. He stayed faithful to the dream and to his God. He was a man of integrity. Every temptation that we receive is just a test of our integrity. Think of all that Joseph went through. I've got more scriptures, but I just have to move on. Sometime read Genesis 39, verses 21 through 23. But think of all that Joseph went through. All that he went through, you still couldn't take the victory away from Joseph. No matter what you did to him, persecute him by his own family, sell him into slavery. How many of you would like that? Yeah, okay, not many. There was actually a hand or two that went up. No. Sell him into slavery, put him in prison for a crime he didn't commit. And Joseph came through it all, held on to his integrity. And here's a real key. I don't even have this in my notes, but anytime I talk about Joseph, I have to bring this up. Joseph saw his dreams come true when he became interested in the dreams of others. It was when he interpreted the dreams of the baker and the cupbearer to the king. And it's when he interpreted the dream that Pharaoh had that all of his dreams came true. Remember I said, stay humble, be a servant, serve others, help others on their way to their dream. And I guarantee you, God is going to continue to move you along to fulfill your dream. Joseph fulfilled his God-given dream of greatness and dominion because he held on to the dream and he did not compromise. When his integrity was tested, he stood firm. And try as they might, no one can steal God's victory from you. No one. And let's not give it away for Pete's sake by temptation and succumbing to sin. All right? All right, I have more, but I got to finish. Thank you for coming. I want you to leave tonight and resurrect those dreams that you may have set aside. I want you to think back on the things that God put before you and you thought, oh, that would be exactly the way God would work in my life. And that you had things that you knew were part of the life that God had for you, but life got in the way, difficulties came along, you got discouraged, or maybe fell into sin and things kind of went the wrong way. When you go tonight, I want you to think about the dream that God had placed in your heart before and do some prayer and spend some time and see if it's time to resurrect that dream. Amen? Amen. Well, you've been a great group tonight. Thank you for coming. God bless you. I will let you go. Go in peace. And if nothing else, we'll see you Sunday morning. Amen? If you need prayer, come on up and we can help you. Is the name.